Good evening and welcome to your home group. We are back, and you can see the set's a little different. Behind me, that's Eagle Mountain Lake. Right there behind us, you can see what it looks like outside. My name is Greg Stevens. I'm associate pastor here and hosting tonight, and we have got a wonderful program. Let me introduce you to everybody. With me is my wife, Michelle.
Hello, everybody.
Next to her is Terry Bailey, who is the wife of Pastor Gene Bailey. I want to welcome you. If you've watched the network any length of time, you've seen Revival Radio and
that's right. And
several other things that you host. Pastor John Jester
hey
is there. You were a regular, well, all of you have been regulars on Home Group, but the newbie to Home Group is Brittany Jester.
Hello, one and all.
Now, I've met people at Southwest, Brittany, that didn't realize you were married to John. Because they see you sing and they see him preach, but they've never seen...
Yeah. They don't let us get together very much on the camera, I guess.
That is true. They kind of keep us apart.
It's a new thing.
So anyway, tonight you have all pastors. And we did that on purpose because if you're not familiar with Home Group, it started, what, Gene, about a year ago?
Yeah, a little over a year ago.
First on just the internet and then went to the network. And it was on Thursday afternoons. And it's a program where you drive the discussion, really. It's kind of like a Bible study in your house. And I have an iPad right here in front of me. We have a social media team that's here to take your questions, your comments. The information's right there on the screen. If you have a question, you can text it. You can text your question to 682-302-1301. 682-302-1301. Or if you're on Facebook, you can just type your comments in and they'll send it directly to me here because we want to hear from you. Home Group was about... Well, let's put it this way. Somebody told you something at Southwest, why they loved it. Because we heard you. There were a lot of people. Did you get anybody in here get stopped at Southwest?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Many.
Where's Home Group?
Yeah.
Somebody said it, described it perfectly.
Yeah, they said, we like Home Group so much because it's you're not preaching at us. It's pastoral. We feel like we're learning stuff.
And there's nothing wrong with preaching.
That's good.
You got
I'm glad
preachers
to hear
all
that.
Over the room. Yeah. but it's not. It's pastoral.
Yeah, it is.
It's just having a conversation. And, you know, you find Jesus did that a lot.
He did.
Something would happen in the ministry of him, and he would pull the disciples aside, and they'd have a little moment where they'd discuss what happened or why it didn't work or what was going on. And so that's what this is about. You can send your questions and your comments in, and we will read them. The good, the bad, the ugly, all of them. Nothing's too hard. This is really not a new concept, though, is it, for this ministry?
No, it's actually a very old concept.
Mm-hmm. It goes back to the very beginning. And if Pastor Terry were here, she could tell you the whole history of the television ministry. But it started with Brother Copeland in something called the prayer group, right?
That's right.
Now, you just recently did a program, a revival radio program with Brother Copeland and Jerry Savelle, and you guys talked about the history a little
bit. Yeah, we sat down, you know, Greg, for about 2 hours nonstop.
Wow.
And we started talking about the early days and, of course, early days in ministry for both of them and then when they came together and what they went through together. And it was really cool to see the more they talked, the more memories kept coming back and they talked about. But there were some real nuggets of truth in there that you can see these men have learned from each other and their experiences.
Can you remember
in ministry.
A story or an example? I mean, we want you to watch it on Revival Radio, but...
I'll have to think of one. I don't want to spoil what's already coming up on the program.
Okay, well, I want to show...
But there are some good things about the show that you... Stories you haven't heard before.
Really?
Yeah.
So let's do... Because this is a modern version, a redo of... Brother Copeland's, it was his very first television program, right?
That's right.
Brother Copeland's very first television program was called Prayer Group. And we found, or you found, your research team for Revival Radio provided us a clip from 1971.
Wow.
Kenneth Copeland is going to ask Jerry Savelle a question they're just discussing. Instead of me talking about it, let me just take you back in time. 1971. Kenneth Copeland's first television series, it was called Prayer Group. Here it is.
The Lord has instructed me to give Jerry Savelle an opportunity to share some of the things that he's learned in this with you today. Jerry.
Okay. Praise the Lord. I might start with when I first got turned on to Jesus, I began to realize immediately that in order to fellowship with God and to develop a Christian life, a spiritual life with Christ, that I was going to have to learn how to pray, you know. And I'd already made up my mind that I was going to live by faith. I didn't know too many people doing that, but I'd made up my mind that's the way I was going to live. The Word said the just shall live by faith, and I decided that's the way I'm going to live. So I found in the Word of God that in 1 John 5:14 and 15, it says that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. Amen, yeah. Well, the thing that I saw right quick was that's where most Christians got hung up. They knew that if they prayed in line with God's will, it'd be done. But half the Christians didn't know what God's will was for the situation. Well, I found that God's Word is His will. And when I'd have my back up against the wall, I'd find the answer to it in the Word and then present that to God instead of the problem. Well, that immediately put 1 John 5:14 and 15 into my consciousness, you know, and I knew that if I ask anything according to His will, He heard me. And the 15th verse says, if I know He hears me, then I know I have the petitions that I've desired of Him. So that's a cinch. Praise the Lord.
That's something.
Wow.
I said 1971, but it's 1972.
I'd like to hear the rest of that, wouldn't you?
I know, right? The rest of that, that's all we have.
Yeah.
That we have, but that's 1972, Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle, and a group of people in a living room, and they called it prayer group. And so that's what your home group is. You really drive the questions and the comments, and I'd love to hear from you. Let me tell you again, we've already gotten some coming in. We're going to get to them. You can text it to 682-302-1301, or if you're on Facebook, go ahead and type your questions right there in the comments live, and we'll get it here. That's really what this is about. And so you have a lot of pastors here today. If you've ever had a question for a pastor and you want to know about anything concerning pastors or whatever, or what life is really like, or any of those things, we want to know. I mean, here's your opportunity. You remember any? You recall anything in that?
Well, I remember that one of the stories that Jerry told about how Brother Copeland kept asking him to do some things and he caught him off guard. And I don't remember what it was, pray or do something in the meeting, and he was caught off guard and didn't realize it. And so he said, I made up my mind I wasn't going to ever get caught off guard again. So he started praying in tongues as he made a purposeful effort to get up an extra hour early just to pray so that he would never get caught again. So, I mean, there's just one little thing that you hear, and now how much they flow together. I mean, you really see that fruit of all that.
And that's all those years of walking together
in
that. So it's cool to see that kind of stuff, to look back in time and see it, that even back then and now. I mean, he was calling on him right then, wasn't he? Get ready. I'm going to call on you right now. But we're talking about, since we are pastors, let's talk about a little bit about, because there seems to be so much. I mean, it's like you run out of time, Gene, John. It's like, how do I balance a ministry, a family? Forget if even ministry. How do I balance a Christian life, family, school, church, all of those things? How do I keep myself in balance? Or am I supposed to keep myself in balance? You got any advice?
I tell people all the time, I'm moving at the speed of grace.
Oh, that's good.
Because if you don't move at the speed of grace, you will allow the enemy to come in and you'll become overwhelmed. You have to move with the grace that God has put on your family. You know, that may look way faster than what you think you're able to do, but God says you know more than you think you know, and you can do way more than you think you can do.
And that goes back to what Jerry said, I'm going to spend a little extra time in the morning so that I'm ready, I'm prepared.
That's right.
It goes right back to that, doesn't it? But in your own life. Yes, ma'am.
I was going to say, got to watch the interviews, the 2-hour interviews, and they said they would go 1 or 2 hours. They learned that before any meeting, at least, or half a day to pray, to prepare for when they were going to minister. But I think, too, is we have to be very careful not to get religious about activities. And Gene is really good with that, where you have got to take a look and you constantly need to go, okay, Lord, what would you like me to do? with my day. And we may have this eloquent plan.
You mean like prioritizing?
Yeah. Well, you may have a plan. Our plans, we always think, are the best plans.
True.
And it could be very religious, too. But if God says, nope, I need you here, you got to yes, sir, and go.
That's right.
So that's why that prayer and that time with God is so important.
And Brother Copeland said in that interview, when I started him off, because I asked him about revivals, and revival was key, and he said, you have to understand this, the number one thing, you cannot have a revival, until there's an effort and a concentration in prayer. And that's how we got on the prayer topic there, was prayer is the key.
And, I find that interesting because the very first person he hired in ministry was?
Billy Adams.
And what did Billy Adams do?
She was the prayer.
Or she, yeah.
She was the prayer warrior. That's all she did.
So that's his first paid position, was a prayer warrior.
Wow.
But history even shows, even further back, Charles Finney had Daniel Nash, Father Nash. That's all he did, was that he went before Finney, before he preached, before he ever did anything, he went ahead of him and prayed. He would come, rent a room in a city wherever Finney was going, spend time there and pray, lock himself away and pray until Finney's meeting. And to the point that after Father Nash died, that Finney didn't even, he didn't travel as much anymore because he lost that. So the power of prayer and the importance of it.
That goes to our first question then. It came in as a text. I don't know who you are, but as a text, and it says, how can a man of God stop preaching the word? So obviously they know somebody apparently that has quit. You guys got an answer for that? Now, here's the ground rules for home group. Jump in. And everybody just jumps in.
I guess I need a little more information on there. What does that mean, stop preaching? We're like, he quit pastoring or quit preaching?
Apparently.
Yeah,
how can a man of God stop preaching the word?
Well, I think that a lot of times in ministry, it's easy to work things out in your flesh. And you take on so much, and this is where prayer comes in, but you take on so much of what people are going through or just the ministry, and it will burn you out. It will tear you up if you are not putting that prayer, putting the Holy Spirit first, making sure that you're where you're supposed to be and not taking on more.
Didn't Jesus do that?
Yeah.
He pulled himself away.
He would pull himself away because there is a part of you that is flesh in the earth, and you have to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying so that you don't burn out. So I know a lot of pastors, a lot of ministers that just burn out.
John, you have three very active young people, plus you pastored young people.
So I guess for me, and this is just my strategy, this is not, Brittany's right, you have to move at the speed of grace, and there'll be grace on your life to pastor your family.
Right.
Or preach to your family, teach your family, father your family, mother your family. So it's unique for every parent. And I tell parents all the time, you are the person with the most grace to parent your child. There's nobody else that has more grace to parent your child. For us, we're just very honest with our kids. I tell my kids all the time, listen, daddy's not the only person that pastors in this family.
Yeah.
We all do. It's a family effort. It's a family thing. You may be called to something else when you get older. But right now, while you're in the house, this is a family effort. We are a pastoral family. And so we make it a family effort. I mean, they can't be at everything, but the things that they can be at, we try to make sure that they're there. We try to make sure that they have a good time.
Yeah.
if you come to EMIC, my kids act like they live there, and they take free reign of the place, but you have to do that. And I would encourage you, even if you're not in pastoral ministry, make church a family affair. And make sure that your kids don't think of church as that other thing that we do, and they'll take your cues. If it's just the addendum to your week, then they're not gonna feel good about that.
It's a part of who they are.
Yeah.
We want that to be a bedrock, a foundation in their identity. Is church is a part of who I am. It's a part of my family.
And not just church, but God.
And God, yeah.
Our faith.
So we got one here. You guys all seem to get along with each other on the staff. They want to know, is that really the way it is?
Do we learn to fake it real good. We're real good at faking it.
Do we? Come on.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, we do get along well.
Yeah, we really do.
And I think, you know, and we've kind of touched on this. In fact, I like Brittany preaching. I like her.
I do, too. But
better than you. Anyway.
Hey, can you sing? Me.
John, can you sing? You don't want me to sing. This is really bad.
I forgot what I was going to say. Anyway, the whole point of all of this, preachers getting along and pastors, is understanding I have a different gift. My calling's different than yours.
Yes.
And it's different than yours.
That's right.
I know we've talked about this a lot. If you put me at Faith Foundations every week trying to do that, I would just, it's just so not. I can do one here and there, but man, to make me do that every week, that's just not who I am.
But to me, that's my briar patch. You know what I mean when I say that?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's the thing that recharges me and relaxes me.
But boy, if you set up a tent somewhere, buddy, I'm there.
Okay. All right. No,
but part of that is understanding that we cannot compare.
Right.
Part of the getting along is I don't need to compare myself to your standard or to your standard or anybody's standard.
Right.
What has God called me to do? And understanding that's part of the body. It's the big thing in the church that we've missed is understanding our place in the body.
You know, the Bible calls that foolishness. The Bible says when we compare ourselves to each other and doing so, we prove ourselves foolish.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, not just not comparing, but I need you.
Right.
Yeah. Like we can't be effective for the people that we've been called to pastor unless I have you, because what I do would make someone lopsided and what you do only that would make someone lopsided. We
would
be well-rounded people.
I guarantee the disciples were diverse. They weren't.
Of course they were. Yeah. Of course they were.
So true.
Well, they had some issues. I mean,
yeah, they did.
Who's going to get to sit here? Who's going to, he's like, it's none of your business.
But Greg, we don't have issues.
Not really. I had to think for a second. No, not really.
Is that something we don't know, John?
We might now.
Only on
But when we're off the air, there might be.
Everybody's got issues.
Sure. Yeah. But we do things together. Mm-hmm. I encourage you pastors. We have luncheons together where we get all the families and all the pastors' families together. And after church, on a busy day, which is after church, and you just want to go home and take a nap, it's like, oh, I got to go hang out with John and Brittany. And, but we do it, and we make sure we take the time to do it.
The key there, Greg, and we didn't always do that.
Right.
That's true.
Is that we had to make a concerted effort.
It was an effort. That's right.
This is something we need to do, because how can I know you unless I spend time with you?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know you just by, I know something about you by being in your classes or in your messages, but I don't know you until I, that's a part of it.
And Jesus did that.
Know those
a lot,
that labor among you.
Breaking bread and modeling acts.
What you value, you will put your resources into. You will put your time, you will put your energy. And to value one another, we need to spend time together in order so that we can, you know, spend our resources, spend our time and get to know each other.
Yeah, it's human nature, and it's easy to fill in the gaps with what I think, what I can put together with bits and pieces if I only ever see you in snapshots, right? Like,
right.
If I only ever see you walking through a hallway or in the pulpit, then I can kind of put together who you are. I don't know really who that is or who you really are until I spend time with you. So,
all right, so here we go.
We've got your... this. Let me add one more thing to that about knowing each other. I have been in churches and on staff and ministries and churches that wasn't the case.
Okay, so what do you do? Are you uncomfortable? You not even want to show up?
It affects everything. You don't want to show up. Or you feel like you're watching your back, and now you have to get into the soulish realm. You know, where you're wondering, is it keeping my job? You know, all that stuff. You know,
what are they saying about me when the door closed?
Yeah, what are they saying? What are those two guys saying over there?
Yeah, they're talking.
They're talking about me. You know? It gets you totally off course. How can I hear from God if I allow all these questions to come in?
So, Gene, does that hinder revival? Does that hinder a move of God?
Oh, absolutely it does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jealousy absolutely will hinder a revival.
Strife. And I'll tell you, that's something about Brother Copeland and this ministry.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
The one thing he will not tolerate, Pastor George, God bless him, has adopted the same thing. They will not tolerate what? Strife. Where there's strife, what is it?
Confusion and every evil work.
Every evil work.
And so that even goes to our private lives, doesn't it? It even goes to husbands and wives and kids and in-laws and outlaws. And
what you're talking about, whether it's your family or if it's ministry, as you're talking about, you got to realize it's not the Terry show, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not the pastor show, okay? Mm-hmm. It's God's program, right. And you're on a team. You're on a team for a reason, and when you sign up for a Team Bailey, okay, mm-hmm. we've been assigned a certain function from God. We were put together for a reason, and if we don't fulfill that reason, then everybody suffers.
Yes.
And then we're Team EMIC, mm-hmm. and if we can't get along, and we can't work together, and we can't use our divine destiny gifts, mm-hmm. then his projects are not getting done, mm-hmm. and he's got to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So it's very selfish to sit off in a corner and not participate in team family or team church.
Mm-hmm. Mm, very true.
You got to think of a higher purpose than your program.
That's right. Wow. Pastor Gene, something you said a minute ago, it's quick to get into the soulless realm of this whole deal. You can get into the soulless realm where you're like, well, if they're not going to talk to me, then I'm not going to talk to them. Mm-hmm. If they don't want to hang out with me, I'm not going to hang out with them. And sometimes we forget. You ask anybody at the beginnings of ministry, oh, well, I'm called to do this.
Yeah.
Well, remember that in the middle of it, because mm-hmm. if you're called to do it, then regardless of the resistance, you're still called to do it.
That's right.
Right? Like if you're truly called to be here, then you're called to be here. That means you fit. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't fit yourself. God fit you.
Amen.
So,
okay, we've had a few questions that are coming in. I've got them right here.
What did Mark Hankin say, though? Mark Hankin said Sunday that if you're looking at the river and you start to see the trash, that's because you're not full. The river's not high enough to cover up the junk. So if you're seeing a lot of trash, that means that you're not full of God enough and you're not spending enough time alone with him. Mm. And you're, instead of loving him and seeing him how God sees you, I'm looking at you, well, you know.
That's so good.
Some people, you hear this a lot. I want to go to a church that's like me. No, you don't. No, you don't. Look for a church that looks like Jesus.
Amen.
That's what you want.
Amen.
If you find one that looks like you, well, listen. Your comments and questions are coming. That was a freebie. That wasn't actually one on that. Your comments and questions are coming up. We do want to hear from you. And from time to time, they'll put the information up. There it is right there on how you can contact us. If you're watching, if you want to text, there's the number. If you want to use Facebook, just type your question and they'll send it to me. Here's a couple of texts that came in, and these are more pastoral. How do you activate the Holy Spirit to speak in other tongues? How and when did all of you speak in tongues? And we begin where?
I'll go first.
Okay.
In the 70s, there was this thing called the Jesus Movement, okay? And my parents had Tuesday night prayer meeting in our house. I hated it because it tore up our house, people in our house, couldn't watch TV. You know, it was not that I got to watch a lot of TV, but it was like definitely none that night. And then they would stay forever. And I had school tomorrow. And anyway, maybe I'm dwelling on that a little too long. The point was, there was a time where people were showing up. People would come to the door and go, is this the place? Like, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, they would just, I mean, it was a real move of God happening. And people would show up until we were packed, and eventually it started a church. But there was a thing about the Holy Spirit, Baptist and the Holy Spirit. I know this may not be as spiritual as you want it to be, but I want that, I guess, you know. Yeah, I'll take that. And they would pray over me, and I was waiting, I mean, you know, come on, God, zap me, hit me, knock me down. And never happened. Mm-hmm. And the preacher would pray, or whoever was coming through, like, well, if you'd have just opened your mouth, you would have had to. Oh, wait. Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know what to do, you know. I was thinking way too hard. I was expecting the bumps and the chills and the, oh, Shandai, let them go, you know, something like that to happen. And it just didn't happen that way. But then one night, I just said, start talking out there. I've prayed. I've asked God. I want this. I want to receive it. So he says I have it. So I guess I have it. So when they started, they just started. Hmm. Now, it didn't feel like I was in a highly spiritually wonderful moment, but it quickly became that mm-hmm. once I stepped into it.
You do it by faith, don't you?
Absolutely.
Just the way, same way you got saved?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, they ask all of us, so.
Well, I guess I'll go next because I'm very different. I grew up in a denominational church that did not teach on on the fullness of the Spirit. So I grew up knowing all the things about the love of God, about being a part of the family of God. But as an adult, I came to know about really the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And so I had a friend of mine who was a little bit older than me, and I went to their church and I said, I want to understand more about what you're, what I'm experiencing, what I'm seeing. So they began to explain it to me. And within 3 months, I really got plugged into that church. I even got plugged into the platform ministry. But there was one Sunday night, we just had this Holy Ghost movement. And I said, Lord, I want to know what it's like to be full of you. Just totally full. You know, I understood about the joy and the love of God, but I didn't understand about the power and the authority until that moment. And that was just a life-changing, defining moment for me to be able to understand when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that you can walk in such an authority in such a place. And it expands so much more of the grace that God can, of what God can do in the grace that he's placed in your life.
That's
so
wonderful.
It was really good.
Anybody else want to tell theirs? Terry, go ahead.
I was very, very different than both of them because I was raised Catholic. Okay. And so I got born again. And then I went home to Omaha, Nebraska to go visit my sister who was spirit filled. And so she said to me, Terry, would you like to find out about this? And I was like, when you go for a job interview and they say you can have vision in a company car, you go, no, of course not. I was like, oh, well, yeah. So she gives me a little Charles Capp books. So how to get filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's Christmas time. And
tell me what you were doing, though.
So I went down to the basement all by myself. I got Charles Capps out, and I'm on my exercise bicycle.
Multitasking. Oh,
this is great.
Pop, like, I just followed the instructions. I thought, this is simple.
Step one.
It is simple. And then I started working with kids, and then you started teaching the Gospel Bill Show, okay?
Yes.
And you start thinking, what, I can speak in code? Devil doesn't know what we're talking about to God? Cool, I'm in. And so, you know, when you find out all the benefits that you have, it's like, okay, I really need to pray about stuff and I'm feeling really crummy and I don't know why, but if I speak in tongues, okay, it's going to get fixed and whatever I needed to pray for is going to happen. Hmm. Isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want that.
That's really cool.
Chill.
Well, you know, I grew up in a denomination and we tarried. That was the thing. Terry.
Did you bombard the
game? I didn't know who Terry was.
Terry at the game.
But I'm waiting for Terry to show.
Blame it on me.
Yeah, it was you.
So I would wait and wait and nothing and nothing. And I'm thinking I'm saved. I you know, and it wasn't. I was a real late bloomer. So not till I was in my 20s, not even living right. Mm-hmm. I wasn't living even righteously, but I was saved, but I wasn't living righteously. And I was invited to church. We start singing a song and I just jumped into the song. And all of a sudden it was like hot oil poured over me.
Wow.
And I began to just, I mean, a river start flowing out.
Oh, wow.
So from that point, and I didn't even start living righteously after that, but I began to I knew what the tongues were. I knew what being filled with the Spirit was, but after that, it really, my life, the course of my life just turned immediately.
That's amazing. John, quickly. We got tons of these coming in.
Yeah, yeah. I was on the worship team and at our former church, and I was in college, and we were having worship practice one night, and I'd asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit before, but in this particular teaching or denomination, they taught that if you don't speak in tongues, then you have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was, I'd asked for it, and then the thing is I prayed in tongues in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could hear myself praying in tongues in my head, but I'd never spoken it. And so everybody was like, well, you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I was like, oh, like, okay. But I was at worship practice and we were in the prayer room, which also doubled as the copy room. And I was on my knees praying with my head on the floor between a wall and a copier. And I was praying out loud, and I didn't know what else to say. And so I just started saying what I heard in my head. And
boom.
That was my prayer language that I heard in my head. And so on between a wall and a copier is where the manifestation came.
Dude, that's a book. You know that, right?
The wall
between the wall and the copier. I met Jesus.
Did you have to get between the wall and the copier to?
Yeah, that's where the glory was. That was the spot where the glory came out. So
people all over America are looking tomorrow. I'm going to go by the copier.
Listen, Staples or Office Depot, get ready. Copiers by walls.
You better write that.
It's going to be a
between the wall and the copier.
I met Jesus. That's where the power came.
That's awesome.
So I'm just so, but this I kind of think this shines light. You got to be careful about how you look at scripture and don't just take someone's word for how the operation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that if you ask for it, he gives it to you, period.
Yes.
So the moment you ask for it, you have it, you know, and everything else is you yielding to the manifest. I could have yielded to it a long time ago before the wall and the copier, but it took the wall and the copier.
The moment you got born again, the Holy Spirit came in you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, that's an honor.
But isn't he a private, wonderful God that he knows that you need to go to church? Okay.
Yes.
And he knows that you need to be between the wall and the copier, and I need to be by myself
in the basement
on the exercise bike at midnight. I mean, you know,
he meets you wherever you're at. Amen.
It always seems like it happens at a night service. It's happened at a night service. It was a night service.
And then if you don't have night service, well, then there you go. Anyway. Get the tent meeting going. There we go.
Yeah.
And we'll bring copiers and stick them in there.
Right between the wall.
The copier and the fence and the tent post.
And the exercise bike.
Right. Yeah.
So it was really funny because, you know, for me, you had the one guy at the altar, you know, that you had the altar bench you came to.
Yeah, yeah.
He would say, hold on.
And somebody else would say, let go.
The other guy said, let go. And then there was actually a guy that at one point grabbed my face. And was trying to hold my face so that I could speak in tongues.
I can't talk.
Everything sounds like tongues.
Right. You know. So. When you were born again, you have him. You just need to learn to let him pray through you.
Amen.
And you do it by faith.
Right.
Yes.
Right?
Just like anything.
Okay. So many. Look at this. The pad's filling up with your questions and comments. I'll just start going down them, and we'll. Some of them relate to the subject. Some are totally different. Right after Jesus died on the cross, Bible says that he set captives free. Who were the captives? Well, Brother Copeland talked about this Monday night of Southwest. So go back and find that. But who were the captives other than all of us?
John?
Pastors?
I mean.
I got it. You want me to take it?
Go.
I teach Old Testament.
Yes.
All of us were held captive in bondage of sin, but it was the people that were held in, here we go, you'll know this word, purgatory.
Purgatory.
You know all about that.
I do.
The ones that died righteously, in righteousness, in faith, went to a place, then there was a gulf between them and Hades, and they went to that place. Jesus came and he took captivity captive. He preached to them himself.
Yes.
And then when he arose, and you read your Bible and study this, you'll find out that people rose from the graves all around there when he came out of the grave. He brought them up with him.
And that's exactly what I was going to say, Greg.
Anytime. Well,
you have the answer.
Purgatory is empty, right?
Yes, that's right.
Did I get that one?
Good job.
Point for Greg.
Let's see. What happens when leadership gets it together, but it does not flow freely downstream?
I don't understand the question.
It should.
That's
if leadership,
a loaded question.
If church leadership has it together, it should flow downstream. Shouldn't it?
Well, in any organization, any leadership.
Yeah, it wouldn't matter.
I'm just trying to think of what they could be
pointing to.
A meaning on that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you downstream being your staff, then you got issues.
Yeah.
You know, you need to take care of and make sure you're all
there's
on the same.
There's a block somewhere.
Yeah, there's a block somewhere. If it's with your church, then you've got issues. you know, and you got the same problem.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's, I guess it's kind of an open-ended question.
All right, here we go. Explain what confess means in Romans 10:9. Is it a one-time confession or is it perpetual?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody turn to Romans 10:9, please. Let's take a look at it.
Right,
we're gonna take a look at your verse, and we're going to do our best to answer your question.
Acts.
Romans. I was going to say.
It's right after the book of Acts.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And turn
and
right.
10 comes behind 9.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, got it. Romans 10:9.
Romans 10:9.
That if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe with our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Okay, so the question is that a one-time confession or is it perpetual?
I think that's a little, if you're asking whether you got to continue to confess the salvation confession, like that salvation prayer, if you got to continue to pray to be saved,
mm-hmm.
No. You prayed to be saved. God is faithful. And if that's the case, salvation is a little too fragile. Like you got to continue.
Right.
You got to have faith in the fact that you confess. Now, if the question is, but confessing has more to do, like it's a big question because the act of confessing, like I confess my faith every day. Like I talk.
Listen, when I get angry,
Jesus.
I confess I am the righteousness of God.
Absolutely,
Christ Jesus,
I mean
to remind myself.
Yeah.
So that confession, I think it becomes more in depth. Like as you live a righteous life, as you live out, walk out faith, it becomes different.
Statement of who you are.
Yeah, it's a statement of who you are. It's my identity. I mean, if somebody asks me my name, I'm going to tell them John Jester. I don't tell them just once. Like if you forget my name, I'm still going to say it again.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have to say it again to be John Jester anymore.
No,
I was John Jester when I was called John Jester by
my
mama.
Right.
You know, so when you accept your identity as a child of God and you're reborn, you receive that identity.
Yeah.
So the scripture says, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you. Jesus, confession is the Greek word homologio, means to say the same thing.
Yeah.
If I'll say what he says about me, he will turn and say what I said to the Father, and the Father says, amen.
I think this question has a lot to do with the fact that a lot of people in church have identity issues.
Amen.
And it's not really about whether or not you're saved, it's do you believe that you're saved?
Right. Well, the enemy comes immediately to snatch the word.
Snatch the word,
so
exactly.
Immediately you can have that doubt of, I'm not saved, because you don't feel saved or you didn't have that glorious, you know, experience. Mm-hmm. But it's just the belief and the confession, and you are saved. But you've got to watch out for that enemy because he will come and try to steal that. And that's what makes you think that you have to say it again and again and again.
Right.
Well, and it depends, too, if you're saying, for instance, when you get married, you say your wedding vows. You say them once and you're hitched, okay? But you also need to say, this is my husband, this is my wife, I love you, sweetheart. Mm-hmm. So you do need to keep confessing your devotion, your love. Mm-hmm. That's a form of it. But once you say, I do, and it's, it's done. It's a
Jesus,
done deal.
I was thinking back where Jesus was going to wash their feet, and Peter said, you're not washing my feet. Remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He says, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. In other words, if I don't wash you, we're not in relationship.
Right.
And he said, well, then wash all of me, wash my head. And Jesus made a very interesting statement. He said, I don't need to cleanse you or wash you. You've already been cleansed.
Mm-hmm.
I need to wash your feet. In other words, you carried stuff in here. You're already cleansed, but you've carried things from the world today with you.
Right.
And this is why every time I preach, I say, wash us in your word today.
Amen.
To wash off the things that I've carried with me today in me. It's not my spirit man I'm talking about.
No,
It's talking about my soulish realm.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's good.
Is what I'm talking about.
That's absolutely. And that.
Because I was a frequent flyer at revival meetings.
Oh, yeah.
I padded the stats of a lot of evangelists because I got saved every night. Sometimes I got saved twice in the same day. Morning service and night service.
I think most Christians, if they're being honest, will say, hey, you know, I checked and make sure. I reset that prayer a couple of times just to check. But you really don't. What you just said is a perfect illustration of how people sometimes put their identity in what they do, not who they are.
That's right.
You know, and it's your identity is not the sum total of your activity. Now, your identity should come through your activity.
Yes.
You know, but it's not. I mean, you don't have to keep getting saved. You know, you're already saved. It's perpetual.
All right. Here we go. You ready? There's a lot coming in. This one, this is all bold print on a text with exclamation points. So happy home group is back.
Yay! Happy too.
Yes. When praying in tongues, does it take time before you hear or understand what the Holy Spirit's saying to you? I guess they're talking about interpreting.
You're right. Go.
You may never understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or the fullness.
The fullness of it.
Well, so what is it? Gene, what is it when you pray? What are we doing?
You're communing with God himself, your spirit man. I mean, talk about that relationship.
Kingdom business. Mm-hmm.
It is kingdom. You're doing business.
Serious business.
You're doing business, and I don't have to understand it.
No, and it may not be for anyone you even know.
Right.
You could be praying for something you have not a clue. Well, but you're like, Lord, use me.
There are different types of prayer. That's and so true. It really depends on
if it's corporately,
then we're going to have corporate prayer. That's going to be a little bit different in the interpretation. If it's a tongue and interpretation in church, that's different. If it's just individual, I believe if you ask the Lord when you pray in tongues to give you the interpretation, he will give the interpretation to you.
Right.
As
and
well.
If you are praying, because often if you've got a really big issue that you're addressing over time,
yes,
in your family or finances or whatever, and you're going to spend time with the Lord and you say, no matter what, I'm dedicating this time every day to you, you will eventually get a release and go, or you get something deep down inside you and it's like, man, that was a good idea. No, that was a God idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a God.
Sometimes you get the sense, oh, I prayed that out.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
A long time ago.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And you didn't even know it. Okay, here we go. Let's see. What do you do when your senior pastor is hands-on with everything that happens in the church and will not allow anyone to help him? Anyway, let me see what else we got here. No.
Well, I think that's where you're going to have to hit it in tongues. I mean, right there.
So you pray the Ephesian prayers over him. Does his eyes be open?
Yes.
Pastor, how can I help you in any way?
Yes.
Make yourself available.
I think that's a good key right there is just ask.
Yeah.
What, you know, have you asked? I mean, don't assume, you know, that he's not doing that.
I remember one time I had a person come up to me. We just hired a music minister. Person comes up to me and says, and then he just come. I'm called to be your music minister. Oh. I'll just. Should I go to the next one? Yeah, just go to the next one. Most of these are texts, but here's one from Kep. It's a little long, but I'll give it to you. Will you address how you individually rein yourself in and stay authentic and not get the big head? This is a... this is a big, effective, elite ministry. It's vital that everyone stays focused in order for this assignment to stay effective and on task. And part two of the question, it's obvious your schedules are so full and you're in the spotlight so much. Will you talk about how you manage your time effectively to stay read up, prayed up, do your homework for all your assignments, fulfill your roles, wife, husband, mom, dad, in-laws? How do you stay so fresh and sweet all the time?
He or she is. Very sweet. I'm fresh and sweet. Remember that, Brittany. I'm fresh and sweet.
Anyway, so how do we rein ourselves? How do we stay authentic?
Well, nobody knows better than me of my shortcomings.
Ain't that the truth?
I know where I fail. I know where I'm missing it. And so understanding, you can't believe your own press, you know. People will always come up and say how marvelous you are and how wonderful you are and, oh, that was great. And, you know, and understanding that that's wonderful. Thank you. But the reality is I know I'm just flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got to do it. But a key here, and to kind of hit several things there in that that text there, is Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Mm-hmm. You read that whole passage through verse 33, Ephesians 5, is going to tell you got to put your family first.
That's right.
And nothing will, okay, guys, nothing will bring you back to reality quicker than your wife.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never experienced that. Have you experienced that, Judge?
I've never experienced that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I have.
Yeah, you live near an In-N-Out Burger. I'll be coming to a location near you.
No, but
I'm sorry.
But the reality is, there's things that she sees at times that I'm like, yeah, you're right. You know, I need to fix that, or I need to fix this. Mm-hmm. And you got to, if I don't, what I've found, if I'm not always checking myself or listening to what she's finding, I'm opening myself up to not be as effective in the pulpit.
But another thing that he said before, which is very true, the true test of character is not when you're falling on your face. The true test of character is actually, when you get money and you're successful, what do you do with your money and what do you do with your character? Mm-hmm. How do you treat people?
Mm-hmm. That's really good.
Well, it's an amplifier. It amplifies whatever's on the inside. That's good, true. Gets amplified. It's bad, it gets amplified.
That's absolutely.
That's why you see sports figures get a lot of money and blow it all.
That's right.
Because they got no foundation.
Right. And so they lose their families.
Yeah.
You know, very practical thing about this, I still take my trash can to my curb.
Amen.
I'm just being honest with you.
Mow the grass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There, you don't lose your humanity. What I found is you have to be honest about two things. You got to be honest about your own humanity and honest about the power that you, the place that you carry and the power you operate in. Mm-hmm. And because if you're not honest about the place you carry and the power you operate in, you'll be flippant.
Right.
Right. And yeah. you won't put a guard over what you do. But if you're not also honest about your humanity, then that's when you start to lose yourself and you don't. Like, you know who else is a great equalizer? Your kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. They'll always be honest with you.
Tell you the truth.
You know, and they'll tell you the absolute truth, and it's unbridled. It's unchecked. Mm-hmm. There's no filter. And so, you know, you invite that. You know, that's why I think we do a fairly good job at making sure we include our kids in what we do. Mm-hmm. Because they will give you an honest assessment about you and about the people around you.
That's right.
You know, so you listen to that.
I try to just stay transparent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just real.
Exactly. And, you know, this is something that Brother Copeland has been very good at training mm-hmm. all of us in
yeah.
by his example.
Yes.
Yeah. And I just, you know, there's not a moment that I've been graced to be able to stand in the pulpit that you don't realize, I know you guys do as well, that you go, man, this is a big deal to stand by.
Oh, every time I get in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Absolutely. Every yeah. single service. It's yeah. like, yes. this is, yeah. I feel the weight of it.
You know yeah. the weight of it. So that has its input, an impact as well.
And you know what? It's not even the cameras. It's not the cameras. No. It's not the lights. It's not any of that.
It's the people.
It's the way that's been paved and the price that's
Amen.
Been paid.
Amen.
For that's that
true.
Pulpit.
That's true. I was going to say, I used to work with the kids for years and years and years. And even with junior super kids and super kids, that weight of the integrity of the ministry, I felt like every time I stepped out there, it was Brother Copeland. And then you have to keep in your brain, it's for God. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. If you think, mm-hmm. you know, the ministry name and the reputation and everything else, am I representing God? Am I doing a good job? Am I showing his passion, his heart? And so it should keep you really, really
Carrie,
humble.
That goes right to Moses.
And you don't want God to leave you because you've offended
sure.
him.
Moses was told to speak to the rock or to strike the rock. He did. And it was a type and shadow of what was to come with Jesus and the water came. Mm-hmm. The next time he was not told to strike the rock, he was told to speak to the rock. Yeah. But he got mad and he got angry. Oh, Moses was a little hot. He was a little hothead. And he hit the rock again and it cost him. Mm-hmm. But see, what he did was he misrepresented Jesus to the people. That's what he did.
Oh, man.
And so every time I get in the pulpit, I think about that. I want to let me represent yeah. you and not
That's
me.
Right.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
And the thing is it's not, like I said, it's not about a person's show. It's, you know, it's the Michelle or Terry or Brittany show.
Right.
We're doing this for God.
You left and us if, out, you know. Yeah. You well, left Gene and John.
Yeah, we'll go through
just
them
like
in
that.
Too. But just, the, but the thing
been
is...
been great being with you.
Brittany,
you said
but hey, there's somebody, because of the way you behave, that doesn't make it to heaven.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to be standing before God.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I missed it because it was about me instead.
Well, it's ultimately not about us. Right. Ultimately, it's about the people. And God has entrusted you
and
with the
if
people.
You don't, if you're not a good steward, that's gone.
Yeah.
And then you don't have, you're not have that again, to not have that. It's kind of like, I can't even imagine how Jesus felt when Father God goes, I'm separating you now. He was on the cross and he was by himself.
That's the only time Jesus ever called him God. Mm-hmm. He'd always called him Father.
Yeah.
But at that moment, he was standing before a righteous, holy God as sin.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So,
and he was separated for the first time ever.
That's good.
If you've represented God and God has used you, mm-hmm. if you've ever had that experience, you're like, I don't ever want to misrepresent you, and I don't want to mm-hmm. ever lose that, ever.
Right.
It's a precious, holy, mm-hmm. holy thing.
Yes.
Because in that moment, you know it's not you.
You know it's not yeah. you.
You know it's not
you.
It's
like, that was too good.
That's absolutely right. There, you know, everybody likes an attaboy, But I'm very careful mm-hmm. with people who say, hey, you did a really good job. Because I did a good job, but it wasn't me doing
was
that
right.
good
you.
Job. It was yeah. anything good I say comes from Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, and if I was right, I know enough about me to know that it wasn't because of me.
I know something we all do too. I can speak for all of us and the others that are pastors here. And it's vitally important. If you're a second, you know, or a third, you're an associate pastor, you're going to have people come up to you and go, you're my favorite. I wish you were the pastor of this church. You got to shut that down immediately.
Yes. Yeah.
No.
Honor.
Mm-hmm. Pastor is my pastor.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's right.
He
Amen.
Is the one. You know what I mean?
Oh,
you
yeah.
got it. That's, and if you'll
yes.
do that, I learned that from Dad Hagen. If you'll yeah. do that, if you'll walk in
Amen.
That kind of honor,
yeah.
You'll be okay. You won't slip and fall in that area. Okay, a lot of questions. We've got just under 10 minutes left. It is Eagle Mountain International Church. It is your home group. It's on Wednesday evening. We'll be back every week. And the people you see here, the pastors you see here, will be hosting different ones. People, where's Cynthia? Where's Dale and Cynthia will be back, all right? So you'll get a finger snap and an attitude.
That ain't home group. Cynthia ain't
on that. Cynthia ain't in there. Where's Annette? Yeah. Okay, so they will all be back, but we're introducing the concept tonight. Let's see here. There's several of them. Do you not feel that all ministers, not babies but mature, are not all Christians? All Christians are ministers. We should be ministering wherever we are and pastoring our children, as Pastor John stated. How do you differentiate that from the job of a pastor?
The Isaiah 54:13 says, all in the Amplified Bible says, all of your spiritual children shall be disciples, taught mm-hmm. of the Lord and obedient to his will. My child is my child by virtue of birth.
Mm-hmm.
My child becomes my spiritual child when I also own the job of pastoring them, teaching them, mentoring them, and training them spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
That is not exclusive to just birth. And I mean, we've adopted kids. It's one of those things where your kids become your spiritual kids. Well, yeah, everybody is a minister mm-hmm. on some. The way you differentiate though, is there's a difference between being called to a congregation or being called for the purpose of the office of fivefold ministry, and then just seeing yourself as with the responsibility. Whether I'm in the fivefold ministry or not, I'm Aubrey's dad, and I'm called to do that. And if I don't pastor any other person, to pastor means to shepherd. I'm going to shepherd my daughter.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to shepherd my kids. And so
Noah is mm-hmm. a great example. He preached for 120 years, got nobody but his family saved.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is right. really cool.
And we wouldn't think
right?
that was successful.
That's
thank God.
Right?
Yeah, thank God.
I bet your offerings weren't very good.
yeah.
You probably gave them offerings.
Okay, let me find some of these others here. I really want to know God better. This is a text, yes. I really want to know God better. So how do I do this in my devotional time? Question. I pray, I read the word, I speak in tongues, I listen to his voice. Is that the way you do this?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a good start.
But
this goes to some of the revival stuff. He or she's wanting a deeper move, apparently.
Yeah, wanting a deeper move, and that's wonderful. But I would... only thing that bothers me about that statement is it sounds like you're going down the checklist.
Yeah, yeah.
And so don't go down the checklist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got to be maybe today you don't need to do one of those things. Maybe
right.
you need to pray in the Spirit your whole devotion time.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, that's listening.
And know that he'll never leave you.
He's never going to leave
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And you're not convincing God to move.
Mm-hmm. That is good. That's good.
What you just said.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But I take it back to the marriage relationship, too. Okay, that would be like if you did the same thing every day in a certain order because that's what they want for coffee, breakfast, you mm-hmm. know. And it became, so it was mechanical. You're not really studying your mate. You're not really seeing if they're having a good day, a bad day, if they need this or they need that. And we need to be followers of Christ.
That's good. Yeah.
We need to be looking for him everywhere, mm-hmm. looking for him everywhere, going... I saw this. If it was a cardinal, I love cardinals. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That meant a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
You're always looking for him moving, or the same thing with, did I see a change in a person that I've been praying for?
Mm-hmm.
What did he do? In a service. Oh, did you see that? Did you see that? Yeah, that was God. You know, and you all talk like that during service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, during the certain chord, you know, something happened. Mm-hmm. So if you're studying God all the time and you're trying to please Him like you should be with your mate, it ought to be a living, breathing relationship that really is rich and not mundane. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So here's this. Let's try to get one more in. We got about 3 minutes left. Did you doubt your... We'll go back to tongues. And maybe it's a text, so I don't know. It may be the same person. Did you doubt your tongues at first? How do you feel when praying in tongues? Describe your quiet time. How did you feel when you're praying in tongues? I'll start and then take this. I never start in tongues. It would have to be a really compulsion to do that. I pray concerning what I know based upon the word. Mm-hmm. I pray about something with all my understanding and all the scriptures I have. And then I get to a point, Lord, I do not know how to pray now concerning this. So now I'm going to trust you to pray through me in the Spirit. And that's how I do it. And sometimes you feel something, and then sometimes you don't, and then all of a sudden you kick into a place.
But, yeah. Yeah. There are levels. I think you start out just in a conversation, and it can start out that way, but then you begin rolling. Your tongue, my prayer language has developed. It has grown. There are times that it's like a river, and there's times it's like the ocean.
Right.
And that's the only way I know to describe it. And it's moving. And I don't really weigh too heavy on how I feel. It's more of that relationship. I'm moving with the Holy Spirit. I'm hearing His voice. I'm listening. And we're communicating. And even though I may not know the vast things that I may be praying for, I know something is shifted. Well, something's changed.
The Bible describes tongues as a language. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't realize the significance of it being a language. You don't ever doubt your English.
Right.
I mean, you may stutter, you know, but you don't. You know that you're communicating.
But you start with the alphabet.
Exactly. But you start off with the alphabet and it develops. I've heard that in my own tongues. It, to the point to where sometimes you just want to be in tongues. You don't want to be in English. You want to be in tongues because you know that that's the language that's going to get it done.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Real quick. We seriously have a minute left. And I apologize we didn't get to every one of these. Tell us how to water our seed and not dig it up. Put your shovel away. You know, I mean, you got a quick answer for that?
Digging. Yeah, when you find yourself in a hole, stop digging.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good word.
Okay. That's absolutely right.
Yeah. And it's your words. That's what you're saying over it.
So what do I want to say over it? That's how I water it.
Yeah. I'm going to say what the word it says. Mm-hmm. I'm healed. I'm saved. I'm delivered.
Regardless of what I feel.
As for me and my house, what it looks like. They'll be saved.
Amen.
Yeah. We shall serve the Lord.
Amen. Perfect. Guys, I'm so excited Home Group's back.
Yay.
I want to thank all of you for being part of this. You're going to see John and Brittany and Terry and Jean, Michelle and I each week with different guests. We're going to take your comments, your thoughts, your suggestions. I trust this has been a blessing to you and has helped you in some way. It's just a moment of not preaching, right, Gene?
That's just
pastoral
ministry.
Amen. One another, like your house on Tuesday night when you were a kid. Okay, so don't forget Sunday morning, Eagle Mountain International Church. It's back, Faith Foundations at 10 a.m. Eastern and all that. We'll see you again next Wednesday. Know this, God loves you.
Yes, we love you. And Jesus is Lord.
See you next Wednesday.